Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello, and welcome to Rusty Quill Gaming. The expansion. This is a one-shot. I just imagine it like a board game expansion that just like sits on top, and like we've added some kings and some meeples. Yes, we are playing Scene Thieves, which is an RPG by Tyler Crumrine, illustrated by Paul Clarissou, which I think I pronounced three different ways, which means hopefully one of them is right. It's an awesome little game where you stage a play while doing a heist. And it seemed like the perfect thing for us to play with a return to the Roman Rogues, Sasha's brood of adopted and hired and trained young folks who have, in this case, formed the theatrical troupe, the Harlequins. It's a coincidence. It's not necessarily related to any canon things Sasha might have done. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Who knows? And they are in a Roman villa of an evil mayor or a bad ombudsman. We never quite established the role, who has stolen some important secret documents from Cicero, which include secrets which cannot be spread. In order to get there, we have staged a play. The play is called The Dog of Sicily, Do Crimes Go Unpunished? So far, we have, well, a lot's happened, and I'm not going to restate all of it, but Julia and her guard crush slash partner in crime have lost and gained stuff through crime and gambling. They've confronted a mayor and they've been chased off. And somebody that looks oddly like Julia's twin, that can't remember where he came from, forget Minatrix, has arrived after success at war on a boat and been awarded lots of stuff by the mayor. And then as he tries to regain his memory, the mayor has actually lied to him about what happened to him and has said that Julia, who looks strangely like him, although I don't know if that hasn't been mentioned, but Julia and a guard, they killed his family, and so he should go off and attack Julia, supposedly, for justice and honor and stuff. And in our heist, we have...
got in a room.
We got in a room. The less said about that, the better. Someone got shot in the bum and it's fine. We're in the room now. Good. Let's not say anything else. Now, in the rules after Act 1, you are supposed to have an intermission where you reflect on the number of successes and failures that you've had. As those who listened to previous episodes will know, we flipped a lot of successes, so the play is steering itself determinedly towards a comedy. If you have more failures than successes, the play becomes a tragedy. If you have more successes than failures, it's a comedy. Equal gives you a tragicomedy. We have now succeeded so many times in the play that I think it would be physically impossible for us to turn it into a tragedy.
But we could still make a tragicomedy.
We could still make a tragicomedy. Yes, because in the game as written, you do two scenes each in Act 2. But if we're going to get through Act 2 and the denouement, we're going to have to make sure we only do one scene each. So we can only do four more. We may, with a lot of failures, get a tragicomedy. Who knows? The heist is a bit closer to call. The heist is 5 successes and 3 failures. So we're going towards success, but we don't really know. The only rule change is that in Act 2, you can overrule a coin flip or you can rig a coin flip by doing a callback. So if you can incorporate one of the props that has already been used, that is a callback. And that means you get to decide whether that scene, whether in the play or the heist, succeeds or fails. Yeah, I think that's where we were. We had left a nice cliffhanger with Forget Menatrix / Julius, told that Julia had killed his family and he needs to head off and do her in. And we had just, in the heist, we had just got into the room where we think that the secret papers are being stashed.
We hope they are.
We hope. I mean, canonically, we are supposed to be quote-unquote expert thieves who know exactly where the target is. But we have room for failure. Yes. Cool. So I think it is Helen's turn to roll for a prop and do a scene.
Right then. Dice roller. Give me a dice. Already had that one. Oh, I got the marbles.
Yay.
Okay. So the last thing that happened in the play was that Julia and the guard jumped out the window and Forget Menatrix.
Forget Menatrix had his whole well done at the warring on the boat ceremony and got lied to. Oh, yeah. And remember a storm started and that was important because the roll of thunder and lowered visibility and also dramatic irony. No, wait, that's not it. It's not melodramatic weather. This is what you learn in like
pathetic fallacy.
Pathetic fallacy. Yes, I totally did a literature degree.
Yeah, so did I.
And
yeah.
Me.
I didn't.
Let's think. Okay.
If we get through this without having the bagpipes, I will be upset.
I'm wondering if we can do like a, because it's Act 2, if there can be a small like time jump to the following morning in the play.
Absolutely.
I am going to say that Forget Menatrix, appalled by this information that his whole family has been killed by the dastardly Julia, is going to have gone looking for her. And meanwhile, Julia and the guard are now friends.
He'd hoped for more, but
but it's okay. He respects her decision.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
And I'm trying to think how to get the marbles into it.
They could be gambling with them.
They could be, but I really want there to be like a gang of street urchins who are playing marbles. What relevance they have to the plot? I have no idea.
If you're running, if one of them is running away from another one, and there's a gang of street urchins, and the people that are running away manage to hop over and run for it, and the second one trips on the marbles.
Perfect. So Julia and the guard are out attempting to stop crimes.
Yes, the vigilantes.
Yes, they become vigilantes together. Forget Menatrix sees Julia and is like, that must be the imposter because they look just like me. Starts to chase them. Julia and the guard are like, oh, we're being chased. That's never good. And start running. A gang of urchins is playing marbles. They hop over the gang, but does Forget Menatrix also manage it?
Nice.
In fact, no, the other way around. Will either of them manage to... Will they get caught by Forget Menatrix? Do Julian the guard avoid the several marbles scattered across the floor?
Do you want to incorporate a prop that has been used before so that you get to decide whether there's a success or failure? Because you could potentially decide that Julia and the guard get away and Forget Menatrix falls over. You just need to somehow incorporate a roll of thunder, crown of leaves, high-heeled sandals, a dagger, a D6.
I want to incorporate the high-heeled sandals and say that Julia's wearing them again.
They were her sandals.
She jumped out the window to escape and then went back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were heirlooms.
Look, they're good shoes.
It's true, they were heirlooms. I forgot that.
We've cut a few days forward. They've already done some crimes and prevented some other crimes.
They've had a heist of their own to get the shoes back.
Yeah.
That's DLC, though. You only get that in...
Well, no, that was playing in another room of the interactive theatre experience, and, like, unfortunately...
Yeah, you missed that bit. It's hard to make it all make sense now.
But the thing is, I want them to fail at getting away.
Ooh.
Because I want Julia and Forget Menatrix to have the scene where they either recognise each other and it's happy, or they recognise each other after one of them has already killed the other.
Oh no.
So I want them to recognise each other, basically.
Okay.
Ooh. And see what happens. So no flipping of the coin for the play, because I've decided that that's already a failure.
Mm-hmm.
That there's going to be a confrontation between Julia and Forget Menatrix.
So the end of your scene is them falling over the marbles, or like a locking of eyes?
Yes, it's a locking of eyes.
While Julia is on the floor with a twisted ankle.
Yeah.
Because high heel sandals
shoes.
And marbles
yes.
don't mix. Oh, and does the guard run off without her?
Marcus, no.
I really want Marcus to fall for Julius.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I will leave that up to the others.
Cool.
Okay. Meanwhile, in the heist, Brock, I believe, is in the room?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. Brock or Gus? Yes, Brock. Yes, sure.
I think it might have been Gus, actually.
Sure, Gusset. Cool.
Ooh.
Whatever helps continuity
best. A thief is in the room.
Yeah.
Yes. A thief is in the room, yes.
We are collectively in the room.
Yes.
The thief's goal is to identify where the papers might be hidden.
Mm.
And this room, of course, could be full of magical traps. Like a rug that eats you.
Magic!
They've got a traumatic flashback.
Again, why are there marbles in here?
Could roll them along the floor, check for traps.
Or they're cursed. Maybe they're a trap.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you're right. So the thief has marbles in their pocket and they are going to roll them across the floor to check A, for pressure panels, and B, if there's like any indentations or anything in the floorboards that would indicate trap doors and things like that. And so the goal is to check for traps, and the obstacle is that they have to overcome is, you know, they're going to succeed or fail on finding the traps, I guess.
That is doing Sasha proud. Entering a room and immediately checking for traps.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well done, Brock and August.
Russ. Brock.
That one I do want to flip a coin for, just because I think that'll, like...
Mm. Why not bus it?
Or bus it.
Bus it.
Would you like me to flip for you, Helen?
Yes, please.
It's a success.
Yay!
Relief. Mm.
Then I'm going to say that Busset finds a trap and successfully disarms it.
Nice.
And decides that the trap must be there for something, like it's over a floorboard. So they're like, well, what's under the floorboard?
Yeah. Ah, clever, yes. Trap is a clue.
Thinking bit of you.
Using the brain. We've okay. trained for this.
Yes. So Busset finds the trap and decides to look beneath it and investigate what it is protecting.
I like the idea as like maybe as part of their training at Sasha's house, the kids are encouraged to set traps for one another, which only spray paint, like you get, but to be paintballed or to have like paint or dye dropped on you from a trap by someone else is like so embarrassing, man.
Yes.
And is such a win if you manage to get someone else.
And they all have their own colours as well, so you know.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing. Yes, yes. And so, like, if one of them comes into breakfast the next day with, like, yellow paintball on the side of their, like, face where they've clearly been trying to scrub it off, and then the other's like, hey, got you!
Got my gusset!
Yeah! And it just means that they all get incredibly skilled at both finding and leaving traps, and sometimes like booby traps that within traps. So it's like, ha-ha! Just to the point where you'd like manage to disarm a trap, just where you would step back to look at the thing in triumph, there's another trap!
Trap oh, no. Inception.
No!
I love.
Well, that's my turn over.
All right. So it's I shall turn. Roll. That's a 12. A bunch of grapes!
Yay! Yay!
Nom, 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 nom.
They just, yeah, that's it. Well, I know what I'm going to do for my heist one then. Right. So, they... So, in the play, Julia and Forget Menatrix have locked eyes. And it just so happens that they are standing outside a taverna called the Bunch of Grapes.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's
it. So... they are going to enter into a discussion because, of course, Julia suddenly recognises her long-lost twin brother because they are identical twins. They look exactly like one another. It's really obvious. And Forget Menatrix, I mean, you know, he lost his memory, so fair play, but come on.
Look, mirrors aren't that good in this
that's
place.
That's true. He doesn't know what he looked like. That's weird, yeah. Mm. Oh, no. Water.
You see yourself in, like,
exist.
Water and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, sorry.
It's just like...
For some reason, I thought that, like, yeah, mirrors are the only reflective surface that's ever existed.
But, like, seeing yourself in water, it has to be still water, it has to be just right. Like, you don't get to just do it whenever you want to.
That's true.
You know, be like, oh, I really want to look at myself, and so you kind of go all the
if
way
the
down
guard
to the pond.
Is there, the guard is still like, but... You,
what?
You,
yeah, that's it. Huh? No, Marcus is in the background being like, what?
But you, what? No,
because we are trending towards a comedy right now. So.
Yes.
And they enter into a very sort of like tense dialogue about what's happening with Forget Menatrix making accusations and Julie being like, no, you're my brother. That dog of Sicily, you know, the one, you know, has tricked you. And that is the obstacle for Julia, basically. Is like, can she persuade Forget Menatrix to believe that he is Julius?
Nice.
And so they can go for a lovely cup of wine in the Bunch of Grapes.
Now, are you going to use a callback to rig this flip, or are you going to leave it up to chance?
I think, given that we have, like, two scenes left, I might rig this to be a success. Mm. And so the reason being is that... Julia produces a flute because she is also a skilled flute player, and this flute is an heirloom from her parents.
Not the established dagger, not the established lamp.
Oh, no, there's another one. And so, yeah, I just genuinely
all
forgot that she could just get the dagger out of all the shoes. But no, there's a flute. And she plays a tune that their father would always play to them before bed. So that, and Julius is like, whoa! We get another really scene, like Julius starts flying again. It's crazy.
They get a lot of use out of that wobble board.
Yeah, yeah.
Thunder, there's the roll of thunder, but there's also, if you do it like narrower and wibblier, it's more of a sound.
Yeah, so that the scene ends with Julia, Julius and Marcus going into the Bunch of Grapes to be like, we're going to deal with that dog of Sicily because...
Yep.
No crime goes unpunished.
Yes! Whoa. Full title.
That's it. They did the full title drop and all the audience are like, whoa! That's just the name of the bit. It was on the pamphlet.
That's like special effects for back now.
Brilliant. Right, and then outside of the thing, Busset are checking under the floorboards and they find a box. There's a box that's kind of like scroll-shaped or folio-shaped, however it is they'd done their literature back then. I think it's scrolls, right, still?
They scrolls, don't really buy yeah. Say scroll.
Yeah. So they find like a long case and they need to open it, but it could be trapped, it could be fine, it's very nerve-wracking. So to calm their nerves, they have a lovely snack to keep their blood sugar up.
Very wise.
Of some grapes that they brought. Mm. Yeah, of course, because a well-nourished thief who is not sells on grapes or Jaffa cakes or something similar, just...
Randomly,
we'll,
yeah.
We'll give a good performance, of
or
course.
Or lobsters, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm going to leave this one up to chance, I think. Mm. So, okay. Helen, can we have a fearful roll, please?
What? Hang on, what's the win and what's the lose scenario here?
Oh, sorry, I'm very implicit. They get the box open, good or bad.
Not just that they're nourished.
Oh, yeah, no, that was it. We're doing a roll for blood sugar, please.
Are the grapes actually nut? Do the grapes have seeds in them or not?
Oh, yeah, they're not. Oh,
are
no.
they tasty?
Oh, rubbish.
Are they tasty? Or are they those weird grapes that are sour even though they look nice?
No. Oh, I like sour.
Oh, that was a good one. Listeners, that one was terrifying.
Yeah, I think Helen dropped the coin. And then, and then there were hands waving around. There was some jumping slightly.
It's gone on the floor and I can't find it. However, I have a replacement coin because I knew it was going to happen. Tails.
Okay. Oh no!
Oh,
you faint? Low blood sugar?
Yeah, that's it. Like, I mean, unfortunately, their hands were too shaky. The blood sugar was too low, and so they fumble with the lock. And as they open it, they hear the vial of acid crack.
No.
Oh no!
No!
But we don't know what's inside yet, because we'll leave that to the next one. So, is it? Something's going wrong, but what's inside? Maybe it was an unrelated thing.
Is it salvageable?
I don't know.
So that's my go.
Okay. To the D16. 10. Oh, I had 10, didn't
the
I?
The cool horsehair mohawk helmet.
6. We've had 6.
It's a cuddly toy.
The wax tablet. We haven't had the wax tablet yet.
The wax tablet.
A wablet.
The wablet.
No, the wablet.
I can't help it. I must portmanteau everything. It's a curse.
And what's amazing is that there's just coincidentally, there's a great logo for the wablet makers is the apple with a bite out of it.
Goodness.
It's my apple wablet.
Oh, boo. But in a well done. But boo.
So, the wablet. I think we're in the tavern with Julia and Julius and Marcus, who's having some strange pants feelings because he's like, wow, I really was into Julia, but now this Julius is actually quite, you know, just as the B-plot. That's what the B-plot is. Like, you know, we need one. They have a wablet, and upon the wablet, they are planning their plan.
I'm sorry, it's not stopping being funny.
I'm actually really enjoying saying the word, so I will continue.
Well, you can like edit down my giggles to be just like laughter in the background, even as
or
I hysterically break
or increase them
apart.
So yeah. I sound even funnier. Yeah, it's like we're going to have like one of those scenes where they plot. Maybe this is a random musical scene actually. So we're going to have the flute back in here. And like this is where they're planning their plan and how they're going to take down the dastardly dog of Sicily.
Okay.
Does crime pay?
So Laurie, what you're doing right now is you're committing the editor, whoever that might be, to put some music in to make sure it all syncs up nicely with whatever you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, and actually, that's not me. That's not me. Yeah,
oh, no, because that's a soundscape. Oh, I'm sorry, Tessa.
Yeah, so Tessa, you're welcome. And
it's got to have flutes in it, as those are the only instruments that have been established.
That's literally the only thing. If it helps you, Tessa, we can have a nice bassy instrument in there as well, and the human voice can be the mid-tones, maybe. I don't know. Whatever it is.
If you just want to orchestrate this musical.
think we need the full musical. Anyway, basically, they're using the tablet as, an, you know, to plot their plot. There's a lot of, I think, probably red string involved from somewhere. Mm-hmm. Like, connecting. How are we going to bring down the mayor?
What's the name of the song? If we were doing the original cast recording, like, what would this be?
Oh, that dastardly, dastardly dog of Sicily.
Yes.
Bring him down. Bend his knee.
Ooh.
Is that, the title of the song?
It's quite a long title. You know, like in old, like in operas and stuff, the title of the song is just the first line or the first two lines.
Oh, really?
So that's those are the opening. Yep.
It's one of those lines song titles with a lot of punctuation in it.
Yes. Absolutely. So many commas. Yeah. So their plan, I think, is going to go, and please do interject your ideas. Mm. I'm thinking something like Julius is going to go back to the mayor saying that he succeeded in his quest to kill Julia. Mm-hmm. And as part of this, he's going to have both of their lamps, both of their daggers, mm-hmm. both of their flutes, and her shoes.
I think they should both have a pair of high-heeled sandals.
Yep.
No, I agree with you. So both of their sandals.
Yeah. Oh, that really retroactively makes the chase scene a lot funnier. Just both of them, like, oh, these are terrible shoes. Oh, my goodness.
Why did we choose these shoes, Mum?
Cobbled roads. Oh, God.
They emotionally mean so much, but practically,
Yeah, and I guess because we are coming to the end of the play, I suppose the win or fail state here is, do they plan a good plan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I quite like that, and I'm going to just say yes, they do.
Cool.
That doesn't mean it's going to succeed, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, and the plan is to take the mayor down. Yeah, actually, how does that take the mayor down if he believes Judy's dead?
We'll find out.
We'll find out. My only addition
Please.
Is that potentially to the plan is that it's Julia dressed up as Julius who goes in pretending to be Julius and says, I have killed Julia, because it's Julius who has the war skills and so could potentially be doing something like sneaking around the back to stab the mayor. Potentially.
Yes. I really
like that.
That
is the exact amount of confusing that I think is perfect for...
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just needlessly complicated enough.
Yeah. And poor Marcus. Oh, lucky Marcus. He's just
so
having a way of
feelings.
He's really discovering a lot about himself.
Yeah.
Actually, and it's quite nice.
Yeah. That's cool. It's a nice supportive environment within which to explore that side of himself.
In years to come, there is going to be another play written from Marcus's perspective.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's just called The Hot Twins.
Oh no.
Very subtle.
But not like that. Not together.
Yeah,
just
hot
for me.
But not like not together, just they were both separately hot. It's a very long title page.
Marcus is in like his own he's in a love triangle but that only includes him. It's going on entirely in his head.
Yeah. It's a love corner.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a love corner.
The other two are really busy trying to bring down the mayor. We've just got other stuff going on. Romance isn't really on the cards.
But I've got some fanfic anyway.
And the play is called Angles of Love.
Oh, that's
beautiful.
So good. Okay.
Beautiful.
And it's a romantic comedy, but the word hasn't been invented yet in ancient Rome, so they call it a romedy.
Nice.
Angles of Love, a romedy in which two twins separately, not like that, both beeth hotteth.
Oh, good. So, a heist.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was my thing? Oh, it was the wablet.
Yes.
For listeners, Laurie was really worried that this episode would run short.
Yeah, I didn't anticipate the musical genius.
You
or the B-plot.
Deeply underestimated our ability to talk about nonsense at length.
Yep. Yeah, this is nonsense heavy.
I'm very happy to be proven wrong. I mean, arguably, I should know possibly best. As I cut your nonsense.
Cut it all out.
Okay.
So how are we going to use a... It's a wax tablet.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I want... Hang on. Who's on stage at the moment?
It has
who's
to be Faustina and Little Wild, because it's kind of broken down into Brock and Gusset do the heist while Faustina and Little Wild are like...
Yeah.
Oh, but remember that Brock or Gusset, whoever ran down to do the Rolling of Thunder, they now are free to do some theatre bits. So they could hop in.
Or they've done a swap, maybe.
Yeah.
So Brock's good at lockpicking. So Gusset, I think it makes sense. Let's canon this. Gusset was the one who has used the grapes to up their blood sugar, then that didn't go well, so the vial has opened. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not his speciality. He's into knives.
Yep.
Like, you know.
Can't stab it. Ugh.
Brock obviously is the lock picker, so I think Brock would know this kind of trap better, but is on stage and is so using a counter melody of the song to talk Gusset through how to save the documents inside.
Then you turn it to the left.
No, my left, not yours, not yours.
Yeah.
So what Brock is trying to do is talk Gusset through using the wax. Like, I guess, how malleable is a wax tablet? I have no idea. I guess
you've got to write in it and then you've got to cross it off.
Yeah, so like...
Yeah, if you melt it, maybe, you know, it'll be...
Yeah, I mean, I guess they have to work quite quickly because of the hiss is going on with the stuff. But it's going to try and, like, block the whatever liquid is going to come out to spoil... Yeah. The documents.
And it's
with
an
the
office.
Wax.
You can easily find a wax tablet in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, there must be loads. Filing cabinet full of them.
I was just going to say, it might also be the thing where, like, they've heard the glass break, but as long as you don't open it any further, you're not going to release anything. So they're kind of running around, like, trying to.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Can you imagine
absolutely.
How heavy the filing cabinets would be, though, if every page was a wax tablet?
Yeah.
Oh, God, if it got hot and they all melted and, molded together, that would be so upsetting. Anyway, does Gus succeed? Do we want to leave it, on a cliffhanger for the break?
Well, it's up to you. You can rig it.
Well, I rigged the play.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Oh, actually, I guess this is quite an important one, isn't it?
We are near the end and we do need to get them out before the...
Yeah, okay, okay, he's going to use the flute because it's tube shape.
Okay.
To poke some of the wax down into, hopefully, block the thing. And oh, look, he used the flute, which has been used before, so he succeeds. Yay!
Okay, so we have successfully got the papers. So Lydia's scene is going to be the escape.
Indeed.
So. I think that sounds like a good time for a break.
What?
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone. Helen here, who you probably know from Rusty Quill's first podcast, Rusty Quill Gaming, or from our chat show, Enthusiasm. Today, I'm here to tell you about Chapter and Multiverse, the new actual play podcast from Rusty Quill. Across each series of Chapter Multiverse, we'll be diving into multiple tabletop systems. No two series will ever be the same as we explore the city of Chapter across alternative universes. Chapter and Multiverse will feature a diverse rotating cast of performers. In our first series, GM Maddie Searle will be running a campaign of Masks A New Generation, designed by Brendan Conway. She will be joined by Ahmed Aljabri, Lorianne Davis, Lydia Nicholas, and Pip Gladwin as intrepid young superheroes in the metropolis of Chapter, with Kareem Cronfley as the eternal tavern keeper. Search for Chapter and Multiverse wherever you listen to your podcasts, or visit www.rustyquill.com for more information. Enjoy!
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And now we're back from the break.
Blech.
Yeah.
Helen, do you want to make a weird noise? There we go.
Thank you, Helen.
Well played.
I've got a scene to do. Cool. And we are in the Bunch of Grapes Tavern. We had done a good plan. Like, because we've decided to have only four scenes rather than eight in the last thing, we have quite a few props left over, and I am setting myself the challenge of using them all in this.
Oh my god!
Must. Yes, you must.
Absolute
so,
mad.
The plan involves Julia dressing up as Julius so that she can go in to talk to the mayor and say she done killed Julia, and then say you have to come out with me to a particular place to see the body, maybe, and yep. That's where Julius is going to be waiting and going to kill him for all of the for trying to make, you know, it's a pretty bad crime trying to set up someone to kill their own twin. In order to dress up as Julius, she's going to wear a purple toga, very fancy.
Ah. Which he would be allowed to wear because of the martial victory.
Because of the martial victory, indeed. Which also really is, it's very thick fabric and covers up any differences in body shape and height. The other thing is they're going to carry with them a holy icon of Jupiter and use it to and say, I swear on this holy icon of Jupiter that I did do this thing.
Oh, gosh.
Hubris.
They'll say that that I brought about the downfall of the criminal.
Yes.
They're going to say it like that.
Nice.
And everyone in the audience can like nudge each other and be like,
yeah. I swear that I am responsible for the downfall of the great criminal. That dog of Sicily, they'll say, which has been used to which the mayor used to describe Julia before. So in order, now Julius, while he was good at that war on the sea, he's not very sneaky, so they've just decided to set up Marcus with a pair of bagpipes by the old house.
To find bagpipes.
Yeah. Roman bagpipes as well, not Scottish Roman bagpipes.
So he's just nearby playing with like a kind of cap in front saying like penny for the bagpiper. People keep throwing the pennies at him rather than in
oh,
the
dear.
As
poor
Helen
Marcus.
Knows coins are terrifying.
they are
So it's going to, because I'm calling, I haven't actually called back anything. The arm of the marble statue.
And yeah. The apple.
Right.
And the apple.
Oh gosh. Okay. So
you have to use all of these in the heist as well.
Yeah. Oh, what? Okay. Right. Marcus is playing the bagpipe. So they've decided to tell the mayor that he needs to come to see the body on his own.
Don't ask why.
Totally fine.
Because they want to, I don't know, say, like, you know, I've done this thing, you have to come. Don't ask why. So there. And they say it in a song, so it gets, it feels much more.
Fortunately, this is a comedy as well, so it can be a lot alike. Because if he's like, hang on, isn't that Marcus there playing the pipes, one of the guards? They'll be like, no.
No.
That's his identical twin brother. Wink at the audience.
Wink. Yeah. So, Julia dressed up as Julius, which doesn't take much, in a purple toga. And of course, she's in high heels, so looks taller. They go back to an abandoned house, which was actually their family home before they got all done killed by the mayor's lackeys. Retrospectively, that is what happened. She's going to lead him in, and he's going to keep saying, like, oh, where is it? And she's like, just in the statue garden. And then, Julius is like, I don't remember any weapons. I didn't remember my weapons, or my weapons got nicked. So anyway...
Julia has taken the daggers with her.
So Julia had to take the daggers to show. So Julius has to improvise. Nice. Fortunately, we all know that statues were made very badly, and so the arm of one just falls off. So he uses that as a weapon. Just as Julia is saying, as I told Jupiter, I will be responsible for the downfall of the dog of Sicily. And Julius smashes him over the head with the arm of a marble statue.
Yep.
Nice.
And could I just...
Yep.
The apple that the mayor was eating. Symbolically, he falls to the floor and it rolls out of his hand.
What? Oh, it's so dramatic. While in the background, of course, the bagpipes go sort of mournfully.
And
you know?
I mean, if you don't want to roll, and a peal of thunder happens.
Yes, then there's a peal of thunder. Yes, peal of thunder. So they succeed at that. Yep, they succeed at that. With
that
their
beautiful
vengeance.
I like the fact we managed to make a pretty coherent, incoherent comedic farce.
Yeah.
And the heist was actually just get into the room. Oh, that's difficult. It's still hard.
So speaking of which, goodness. Okay, anyone that wants to help can, because I do think that Ben was right. We should use all the props in the heist as well. So
hang on, all 16 props or all the leftover props?
Oh,
well, I was going to say all the leftover. But yeah, okay. Now you've set us that task.
God.
Thanks,
Lily. Oh no.
We brought four each to it. So should we take four out of it as well?
Yeah. Sure. Okay.
Oh, good grief.
Well, let's work backwards through the turn order. I'll set it up. Lowry left me with Gusset. He's managed to wedge he's got the papers out of the box. Okay. Gusset flips through the papers, checks. Yes, these are some very incriminating things that say that that Sasha runs an underground ring of people that try and promote justice and good things, but in a kind of sneaky way. And it would be a problem if the mayor and the other political figures found out about it. So in order to keep the Harlequin's job secret, it's not interfering with canon, it's separate. They've got these papers.
Don't listen, Alex.
Yeah, no, don't listen, Alex. It's our canon now. Death of the author. And so flips through, checks, good. They then realize they have to get out of this office, and of course the door is locked on the outside. They realize though that the lock is, of course, the mechanism is on this side of the door. So they, after raising their blood sugar by eating an apple that was left,
nice.
They break off the arm of the arm of a marble statue is just lying around because it's Rome, and that seems to be, where did they all come from? They must have been lying
everywhere.
Around.
Yeah, when Rome got destroyed, all the arms of the statue just flew off, just scattering the landscape.
Yeah, absolutely wasn't a problem with how they were... using the marble and casting it, and there certainly wasn't a big tradition of there being a big block of marble behind something so that you could just slot a person onto... Anyway.
Yeah. Any of Helen's history details? We don't need that.
Bronze casting, that was much later.
They're gonna use this random arm that was being used as a paperweight to smash the mechanism of the lock so that they can they can get through. Then they find themselves in the corridor. It's dark, but they didn't realise there's a guard outside. Ah! Sneakily and quickly, they roll a really high dex save and catch him flat-footed and stab him. As we've established, these are all mean. It's in their job application. And he's like, I'm not dead, but it really hurts. But then while he's saying that, he's like, hey, yo, quietly. Another guard who's also nearby comes around the corner. Obviously, the dagger is now in the dude, so can't get it back. But Gusset or Brock or Busset or Gok.
I think we canonized it was Gusset.
It's Gusset remembers from an earlier failure and grabs the high-heeled sandal that we wedged in the lock before in a failed attempt to get in. Pulls it out and stabs that guard with the heel.
Yeah, who also goes down. It's like, oh, it's fine though. Ow.
Yeah. Oh, you've winded me. Winded me.
With a spike.
And he then starts running down the dark corridor. I said we'd go backwards through the turn order. So, Lowry.
It's me. Okay.
Pick four props.
So, Gusset is running back down the corridor towards the auditorium stage area.
Maybe that's the only way out.
Yeah, I think it probably is. So as of yet, like we have got a few guard bodies around, but no, we haven't been discovered by someone who is able to raise the alarm
to
yet.
Yell.
Yeah. Well done, Gusset. So the rest of the troop is on stage taking their bows, the curtain call. We're going to have. This has been such a Shakespearean thing in my head the whole time. We're going to have a lovely little dance and a sing song at the end. And just to encourage the immersiveness. You know, we want the audience to kind of be singing and dancing along with us. So, you know, we're going to be using the bagpipes. We're going to be using the flute, like the band. There's going to be singing. As a way of like charming the mayor and keeping him like sweet and not suspecting us, Faustina is going to take the crown of leaves and like dance like sweetly up to him and put it on his head and like encourage everyone to be dancing around the mayor as if we're celebrating him.
Yeah, it's very clever.
So to give us an opportunity to all get to the door and leave.
Does she maybe get him up on the stage and invite everyone to be on stage so people can't tell the difference between the... Yeah,
and I think... Yeah, well, and drape him in the purple toga as well, actually.
Lovely!
That's you know, a royal colour. Is it a royal colour in Roman times as well?
Yeah, it very much is. Yes,
yes it is.
So it's just trying to flatter him, to distract him, so that he doesn't get suspicious.
If you tie it together in the right way, it might be quite hard for him to run.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And also it's symbolic because people who wear purple who don't deserve it get punished.
Ooh,
thank you,
and
Helen.
No crime goes unpunished.
Yes.
Yay!
Working backwards through turn order, Ben.
Okay.
Props. Get us out of there.
Right. So as Gusset comes down to join the situation, he grabs the prop helmets which they were using for Marcus, stuffs the scrolls in there, and jams it on his head to sort of keep them hidden as they dance through. In order to increase the distraction, Little Wild approaches a latent priest of Jupiter and asks them to anoint the mayor with honour as the host of this fine party and a good mayor. And the priest Jupiter's like, love it, mate. I love doing that. I'll anoint anyone you want.
That's how
he's using the holy icon.
Line up.
And he's using the holy. Yes,
cool.
So that's what we've done. Helmet, icon, right. And then they start to leave. They start kind of packing up as part of the party and it's all like a big thing as they dance merrily on their way.
Hey-ho, off we go.
Yeah, absolutely that kind of thing. So they take the wax tablet and melt it down in the lamp by hiding in plain sight, leaving themselves a trail of fire. Yeah, I'm going. Yeah, with the lamp. They light the lamp. They have a trail of wax. They lead it out and they lead people out onto the streets to sort of like disguise their escape, because it's not like they're all just hustling off.
Oh,
like,
I see.
We're all going. They begin a procession, I
right?
Guess.
They're melting the wax tablet with the lamp,
as fuel on the tiled floor,
right?
To create like a little trail of fire, and it's like it's not like setting a fire; it's like just a little kind of symbolic.
Oh, as in like follow the lovely lights of fire.
Yeah. So they're starting off like a ceremonial procession where they process the mayor through the town, and like, hey, this guy's cool.
Yeah.
Not
we're not
all.
Robbing him.
Yeah. And then Helen, good luck.
Right. As the thieves and the procession of people go out into the streets, Little Wild, who we have established is extremely tall, grabs a bunch of grapes and feeds them to the mayor. The wobble board is used as like a percussion,
right?
Like to join in the rest of the flute and bagpipe music.
Yep. It's a beautiful sound.
It's a lovely beauty. Yeah.
It's
really
best.
Look forward to the soundscaping.
It's going
to
be great.
Yes, I'm so sorry.
The D6 is discreetly returned to the to wherever it was.
Maybe it was nicked from a kid. So
yes, a D6 is returned to the sad child.
Is it like a sort of like vignette of like a child looking sadly at an empty hand, and then the procession passes by, and then the child is like looking happily at the hand that has the D6?
Yes, exactly.
Thanks, Mister.
And wonderfully, just like the final couple of episodes of RQG, we are left with marbles to save the day.
And Helen.
Final prop to save... Yeah, to save the day and Helen.
And just as they reach the top of the street and the mayor is so pleased with himself and the thieves drop marbles in front of his feet so that he falls over on his bum and run away into the night.
In a big muddy puddle. I love that. They're like, whoa, it's a big party. Marble scarper!
Where's the horse?
Yeah.
Where did we park?
Yeah, where do we park the horse?
See, I think that we did the denouement as
we did.
Part
we
of
kind
that,
of mashed
that,
it in.
We mashed that in with the last scene. It blurred together, and that is cool. I think we should all be very proud, and so should Sasha's proteges, who will return with the secret papers, and the Harlequins will remain a mysterious and not at all discovered, not at all. What's the opposite of secret?
Overt?
Yeah, just like the
uncovered.
Anyway, they will be secrets, and it's all fine. Yes.
Oh, and they're not revealed, or
no? Yes, they are. They remain unrevealed.
Yes.
And everyone will be very proud.
Yay!
Woo! Yay.
Cicero was very relieved to get his teenage poetry back.
It's like, the political stuff. Did you get the... This can be lost to history again.
Yay.
Yeah. Yeah, so if you want to play that game, I suggest you do. It was good. We all laughed a lot.
Yes, as we were saying earlier, my cheeks hurt from smiling and laughing. It's very, very good and fun.
And it does actually look like, because I was doing some idle looking about, it looks like it's part of a cycle of RPG games called Possible Worlds, which are all like very low entry, very improv-y. And there's like mech ones and dating ones and Stardew Valley ones. And
that's super cool. Yeah. Lovely. Yay.
Cool. Yeah. I wonder if they'll let us play more of them.
Yeah. I'm sure that everything we've done is entirely as intended. Yeah. And no offence will be taken on anyone's part.
I think we obeyed the rules. Yeah. We even had an interview.
Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah. We didn't mess with the canon. What? No, shush. It's unrelated.
Oh, those rules.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Just don't let Alex listen to it before it goes out.
I think that's the only person who's going to be angry with us is Tessa.
Yeah. Sorry, Tessa.
For that just abysmal soundscape problem.
Well, I almost feel sad to say goodbye to the Roman Rogues. They were, as always, adorable. But that does bring us to the end of the episode, I think.
It does.
Yeah. It does.
It does.
We will see you soon. Maybe in, I don't know what order it's all going out in, so maybe on another format, in another stream, on another podcast thing.
We shall see you anon.
We will see you anon.
Yeah.
Bye!
Bye!
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 international license. Today's episode was directed by Alexander J. Newell and produced by Hannah Preisinger. To subscribe, buy merchandise or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at The Rusty Quill, visit us on Facebook or email us via mail@rustyquill.com. Join our community on the Discord or via Reddit at r/rustyquill. Thanks for listening.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.